that other thing. One click. Come on now. All right, I'm just trying to fill until all of our papers are spread out here. All right, all of our papers are spread out. All right, praise the Lord. We are in a series called Kingdom Focus. I'm sorry, Finding Focus in 2014. Title today's message is Kingdom Focus. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. As you are turning there, this series, Finding Focus, is a compilation of this book, not a fan, that I got as a Christmas gift. And it was a book that I had bought last year and lost. And my mother-in-law had it, and I couldn't remember the title. So it was hard. She got 1,000 books. So it's hard to look for the book that you can't remember the title for. So I got this. It is, and the first message in the series was more than a fan. And that is what this whole series is about. The other source is a series from Saddleback that introduces Celebrate Recovery Ministry. And it is actually 8 messages. So I am folding this book and 8 messages into, at this point, 5 messages. So if you think that this is directed at you today, oh, no. This has been in I had some people come up to me after church last week. I didn't like that sermon, not one bit. It's not, this is, hey, if it hits you in the teeth, it is the Holy Ghost that is doing the amen. It is not me. All righty. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 through 27, Bible says, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter says, the Christ of God, the Messiah of God. And Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And then he said to them all, this is where we're going to focus, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. Lord, we come before you this morning, and we do want to have a kingdom focus for 2014. Lord, we do want to have priorities established by you. Lord, there's some stuff that gets in the way. Lord, I thank you that you have your eyes upon me and your eyes upon us this morning, that your presence is right here in this very room where 2 or 3 are gathered. You are right here with us, Lord, and I thank you for that, that indeed your Spirit has a message for several that are here this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you speak to each one of us and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
I have told you many times. In fact, I tell you my testimony in about 30 seconds. I was walking along the street about 22, 23 years ago in Sacramento. I'd come to the end of myself. I said, Lord, you can have my life. And just like that, I felt the Lord come in and totally transform me. Now, less often, but I have shared this as well, is the rest of the story, what comes after that. And that day, that morning, when I was walking on the street, I was not feeling real well. I was pretty hungover. And that was pretty much a constant state of my life. And that day, that was a Saturday morning. I did not drink that whole day. And I woke up on Sunday and I called my sister and I said, "So, Sue, what religion are we anyway?" And she says, "Episcopalian." And I said, "Are you sure?" And she says, "Oh, yeah, Episcopalian." I said, "Okay, thanks." And I had not been in Sacramento that long, maybe 2 months, maybe less. And so I'm looking for an Episcopalian church, and I'm looking for one that's close. You know, hey, there's one close. So I'm looking, and I see one, and it's on Watt Avenue. And it would be very, very much like looking for a church and saying, "Oh, here's one on El Cajon Boulevard." But close, man. I mean, El Cajon Boulevard's right there. I'm going, dude, I'd be there in 3 minutes. And so I hit Watt Avenue, and I'm not familiar with Sacramento. And I kid you not, I am driving like 25 minutes on streets. It just goes and goes and goes. And I'm going, "What is up, man? 73,000? You know, and I'm on 2300. Oh, you know, and I'm going. And I finally, I'm going, how much more of this town is there, you know? And it would be like going all the way down to El Cajon City, on the backside of El Cajon City. You know, I'm going, oh. So that's kind of what it's like. And so I end up finding this little tiny church, about maybe smaller than this one. And I go in there, 8 o'clock service, and there's like 7 people. And it's kind of like Catholic. A lot of you guys know Catholic. It's liturgical, right? You stand, you sit, you bow, you sing. You stand, you sit, you bow, you sing. All that stuff. And the dude comes out to preach, and he's got his robe on and all that stuff. And he says, I like to do this about once a year. And some of you have heard this before, but I'm an alcoholic. And right there, boom. Go, okay, God, you have got my attention. You have my focus. We are talking about finding focus in 2014. And I don't know how your 2013 was. For some of you, I know you did incredibly well. And I celebrate the progress that you made in your life. Some of you, not so much. Reading this book and this series we're going to start with, Celebrate Recovery, it is so that you can process all the crud, Hebrew word, meaning obstacles and baggage in your life. Some of the stuff that we carry around with us. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You know, your hurts and habits and hang-ups can mess up 2014 just as bad as it messed up 2013. You know, Pastor Dave left. How many years ago? 7 years ago? 8 years ago?
Well, from the 2 years.
Yeah. Probably, right?
Eight years
ago, he left and he started a Celebrate Recovery in Minnesota. I always thought, man, it was supposed to start here. And in about 3 weeks' time, we'll be starting to celebrate right here. It says, if you want to save your life, you're going to end up losing it. Those are tough words to live by, words that Jesus said, tough words to live by and tough words to die by. Jesus says, you want to come to me, you have got to put to death that old life. And that is a struggle for many of us. Can I get a witness on that? The kingdom of God is a challenge. But if you meet that challenge, there is a reward. Amen? There is a reward that you can hit right now. Pastor Dave, how many lives did you see transformed by that Celebrate Recovery you started in Minnesota? Hundreds, right?
I don't know.
And there are rewards. How many of you, this is what, third week of January, right?
Yeah.
How many of you have received blessings from the Lord already in 2014? See, the kingdom of God is a challenge, but if you meet that challenge, there are rewards that happen now. And Jesus says, hey, you listen to my words. When I come back in my glory, in the glory of my Father, in the glory of the angels, I got more that is coming. Amen?
Amen.
And so what we got to do is we got to learn how to process the crud in our lives and the focus in our lives so that we can get our eyes on the kingdom. And we can see changes in 2014. Amen? Are we good? It's uphill today. Watch out. All right, here we are. Talking about getting focus. Anyway, I'll tell you what we get. Getting focus, keeping focus, and developing focus. All right. John chapter 7. We're going to jump around a little bit in the Bible today. John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. Bible says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, that is the Feast of Tabernacles. I'll tell you about that in just a second. He says, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And Jesus in the temple makes an open invitation. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, it was you read about it in Leviticus Deuteronomy chapter 16. And it is a celebration of the time that it was a one-year period in which they lived in these booths as they moved towards the promised land. Now, it ended up being a much longer time when they got disobedient, but this is a celebration as they are headed to the promise. And this is approximately 1,200 years later. So the focus on this feast has changed a little bit. And they would bring, the priests would carry these big old silver pitchers full of water. And they would, each day, for the feast will last 7 days, right? And each day, they would bring out these pitchers filled with water, and they would pour the water out onto the altar. And there would be chanting and singing and all kinds of commotion with all kinds of people. Just it's a massive, massive feast. One of the three great priests, feasts of the Old Testament, and the population of Jerusalem would swell to 3 to 4 times its normal population. So the temple just would have been crammed. And on the final day, because they were waiting, there was the expectation as the ushering in of the kingdom of God that a river would begin to flow out of the temple. And they would like prime the pump. And they would take this pitcher and they would pour it out onto the altar. And there would be the expectation as the Messiah arrived that the river would begin to flow right out of the temple. And it would be this miraculous ushering in of the kingdom of God. And so on the last day, there's people that are waving stuff, and it's like the Super Bowl. And the priests are coming up, and they're singing the songs. And he pours out the water, and there is a hush that comes across the crowd. Is today the day? Because it's the last day of the feast. And if it doesn't happen today, we got to wait till next year, and maybe then. So on the greatest day of the feast, and after the water is poured, and the silence hits the crowd, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, streams of living waters will flow from him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the hairs on people's arms? Wow. I can't imagine the priests were too happy. Jesus makes an invitation. It's an invitation to anybody who is there with one requirement. You have to come and you have to drink. And the question today is, are you thirsty? Because, see, Jesus didn't care where they had been, but where they were going. And this morning you come in here, Jesus does not care where you have been, but he makes an invitation and he asks you a question, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty enough to come to me? Because if you are, There is a transformation that is available similar to the one that I experienced walking the street in Sacramento that day. What do you want in 2014? Because if you want to be made new, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And you come in here this morning and you are chained to the past. This Celebrate Recovery stuff is how you can break those chains. The Holy Ghost will come in here and make you brand new. But sometimes we're dragging that crud from the past. You need somebody with some bolt cutters come along, cut you free. Amen? That's what we're talking about. So we're talking about getting a focus. Jesus will give you an invitation, and invitation requires a response. Invitation requires, see, you can sit here today and you'd be thinking, oh, that just sounds so good. And you can leave here bound as you walked in.
That's right.
And you know what? Jesus will let you walk right out. He's saying, hey, come to me and drink. Amen. You want to walk out thirsty? He's not chasing you down. He's sitting here nurturing everybody who's thirsty. Amen? The kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus talking. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Have you found that be true? Hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and he sold everything he had and he bought it. Jesus gives us pictures of the kingdom of God. Pictures of two guys who apparently know what's going on. I mean, they got some wealth, they got some action going. And they come across something that dwarfs everything else that they have. And they go and they sell everything. Same picture. A parable is intended to convey one truth. And these two parables, side by side, convey the same truth. Everything that these guys have pales in comparison to the significance of the kingdom of God. And they sell everything. They weren't trying to sell half. They weren't saying, how much can I keep and still get that pearl? How much can I keep and still get that field? Because when he got the pearl, all the other stuff he had didn't matter. Can I get a witness on that? When he got that field, he didn't have to deal with all the other crud in his life. Crud again, that Hebrew word. Because his focus was now going to be on that field, on that pearl. And my question is, what God, in between you and God, in between you and the kingdom in 2013. Because chances are that same thing will get in between you and God in 2014. These guys found the kingdom and there was a complete transformation in their priorities. Everything was realigned on the kingdom of God. Doesn't even sound like they were struggling. With great joy, he went off, sold everything, got that field. Amen?
Amen?
What gets in between you and what God has for you? Because there's some stuff that we got, we just don't want to give up. Pastor Scott, case in point. Last year, struggled in some massive areas of his life. Had a little problem with blood pressure. Had to give up meat. Became a vegetarian. And I was so impressed with his sacrifice and his self-control. Except, because I was talking to him one day and I said, so you're a vegetarian, dude? He goes, well, almost. He says, I can't give up Lisa's meatloaf. it's the one thing I'm just not going to part with. And that's fine with their marriage and everything, you know. But I'm telling you what, God doesn't want you having Lisa's meatloaf in between you and him. See, there's some things that we've got hidden away that are too precious to us to say, no way, I'm not giving this up. I don't care what my doctor says. I don't care how high my blood pressure is. I'm eating the meatloaf. So what's in between you and God? What are you not willing to sacrifice for the kingdom? Because these two guys, they sold everything. And they got what they were shooting for. Amen? All right, getting focused, keeping focused. Number one, or A there, it is easy to lose track. It is easy to lose track. People get on the edge of the kingdom and think it's good enough. Because I'll tell you what, the edge of the kingdom is pretty darn good compared to the world. Amen? Jesus says, this is Jesus talking. It would be red letters if you had a red letter Bible. 6:26, Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me. That's good, right? Just be happy. You're looking for me. Come on. Hey, we don't care why you're coming to church. Come for the food ministry. We don't care. He says, you're coming to look for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And this is the aftermath of the feeding of the 5,000. And the people were drawn because of the miraculous power of the kingdom of God. The miraculous message of the kingdom of God, that God cares about you. That God knows you, your situation, and that he cares for you more than he cares for the birds. More than he cares for the flowers. That you are precious in God's sight. And then Jesus performs an incredible miracle. 5,000 men. They didn't count the women and kids. Now, around here, there's more women and kids than men. There could have been 15,000 people. And Jesus says, let's feed them. What do you got? 5 loaves, 2 fish. And it begins to multiply, praise, gives thanks, begins to multiply them, and baskets begin to be filled. Have the people sit in groups of 50, and baskets are going out and going out. And can you imagine the incredible display of the power of God in that? That if you were Lori sitting there, right, and watching the disciples coming with basket after basket, when's it going to run out? Wow, this is incredible. And her eyes would be where? Riveted on the hands of the Lord. Amen? Do you catch the vision, right? And she comes along. And man, I wish I had one of them trays. And one of the guys comes along, and her eyes are riveted on the hands of the Lord. And all of a sudden, there's a bread placed and a little piece of fish in her hands. And her eyes come off the hands of the Lord and go onto her own hands. Wow. This is good. I'm hungry. There were so many people that day that took their eyes off the miraculous power of God, off the miraculous power in the hands of Jesus, and put it in their own hands, and they started thinking about, what can I get? What is in it for me? Because I'll tell you what, you come to the Lord, and there are blessings, amen? You come to the Lord, and these people who got a little piece of bread, a little sandwich, they got to the edge of the kingdom of God, and they said, this is good enough for me. I'll just settle for the bread and the fish. And Jesus says, you're not coming for the right reasons. You're giving up on the core of the kingdom and settling for a sandwich. How'd you do in 2013? Was the edge good enough? See, it's easy. I mean, man, I come out of the world polluted. Crud all over the place, man. Step into the little tiny church, King James Bible, couldn't understand a thing. Mind all messed up. 15 years of being loaded every day. And it was so much better than the garbage I had come from. I could have settled right there. Maybe some of you are settling right there on the edge. This is better than what I had. And Jesus said, oh, man, edge is not good enough. Come on in. There is more in store. Kingdom of God is a challenge. If you meet that challenge, there is a greater reward. Amen? All right. No holding back. No holding back. We're back in John. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. Woman who had led a sinful life. Get a picture? Many people thinking she was a prostitute. It's not stated. Many people think that this was indeed Mary Magdalene. Not stated. It was a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town, learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. She brought an alabaster jar of perfume, and as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. And she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. This sounds like somebody who has completely changed her focus. Can I get a witness on that? Everything else paled in comparison to the kingdom of God for this woman. We don't know. The Bible does not contain the message that she heard from the Lord. But we can surmise it had to do with the forgiveness of sins, the acceptance of her past, and a brand new future. You think I'm off track? I mean, that's pretty much gospel. Amen? She had heard the truth of the Lord. She had lived in that town and doubtlessly knew she was scorned by that Pharisee. Too far of a stretch? I don't think so. I don't think that that Pharisee carried on long and deep conversations with this sinful woman. Amen? And yet, she sees Jesus in this guy's house and says, there I go. Knowing that she had no invitation. Knowing that, get out of my house. No invitation, no welcome, no opportunity. Doors slammed in her face. And yet, she presses through all of that to get to the feet. What's holding you back? What held you back in 2013? Are you worried about what the people around you are going to think? Do you care more about what they think than what the Lord thinks? Do you care about more what they think than what the Lord can do? The transformation that is possible. She pressed through it all to kneel at his feet. You pressing through or... is the edge good enough for you? Oh, there he is. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. So you can be right in the middle, still just be on the edge. Just a fan. Church is filled with people who like the Lord. Oh, I just love Jesus. He's so accepting, non-judgmental. I just love the Lord. People want to get just close enough to get a couple of benefits, maybe a sandwich or two, but don't want to pay any price. Don't want to have any pain. This woman is damaged goods. All kinds of things going to have to be dealt with in her life. Shame, guilt, anger, resentment, bitterness, crud. Maybe sexual addiction, maybe alcohol. All kinds of ways to cover up the pain. And Jesus says, if you're thirsty, come and drink. You can come all the way in. Now, we'll deal with this stuff. That's why we're going to start Celebrate Recovery. Deal with this stuff. I tell you what, you get all this stuff bubbling up in your life, and we get to be pros at jamming it down and covering it up. Amen? Kingdom of God is a challenge. Why? Because one by one, God's going to have you deal with that crud so that you can find fullness and freedom and life. Amen? Amen. It's a challenge. But if you meet the challenge, there's reward. We had a little challenge when, I think on Thursday, yes, on Thursday, my wonderful son, Joe, my wonderful adopted son, JJ, we, thanks to Mike Henson, who arranged a donation of insulation, not just any kind of insulation, yes, fiberglass insulation. How many of you have had the joy of installing fiberglass insulation? Hands up high. Oh, yes. How many have done it more than once? Yeah, see, a lot of hands go down. Oh, yeah. And so I said, okay, guys, we're going to go out. We're going to put this insulation in. And they're walking. I said, oh, no, you're going to want a long sleeve shirt. It's hot. I said, oh, yeah, you're going to want a long sleeve shirt. And then we're going to get some gloves, get some goggles, maybe a breathing mask, hat. Oh, are you kidding me? I said, Joe, man, this stuff's going to, you know, stick in your arms, man. It's just like little needles sticking in you. So then Joe's going, hey, give me some duct tape, man. He's like starts duct taping his sleeves down. He's got like a towel that's going over his neck and the hat's over it. I'm like, Joe, chill, man. We haven't even left the house yet. Don't worry about it, man. We've got a long time to get ready. And so it took us 4.5 hours, but all that insulation is down there. Lorenzo finished stapling up for us on Friday. But 4.5 hours, and Joe being 6'4", he had the job, the fabulous job of sticking the fiberglass up. And that is the most fall-down situation of fiberglass, and he's got sweat all over him. And he's at times weeping. I don't know, you know, I think he was faking it, although I don't know. It could have been real. And at one point he said, Dad. Next time I go to the doctor and they ask me if I've ever contemplated suicide, I can say one time. It was a challenge. People of God pass through challenges and find reward. Amen. Both those boys got a little pay for that, by the way. There's not a lot of things I pay for around here. Insulation is one of them. Yes. Okay, here we go. Developing focus. So we got finding focus, or getting focus, keeping focus. We got all those things I just talked about. No, we got getting focus, keeping focus, and developing focus. There you go. A little round of applause for Steve there. He got it. Acts chapter 2. Talking about crud, talking about baggage. Chapter 2, verse 36 and 39, Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost, on the day that the church was formed, on the day that the Holy Spirit fell, on the day that they spoke in tongues, the day that a crowd formed because something kingdom powered was going on. And he preaches a message of Jesus, and he preaches a message of the Jews, and he ends up with the crucifixion of Christ, and he says in verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, both Lord and Messiah. And it would have shaken the crowd. He says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all, even in City Heights, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And we talk about finding focus, we talk about finding new direction in 2014. The call of the Lord. Now, to be healed, you got to be sick. To be fixed, you got to be busted. You come in here well and fixed, can't do much for you. But you come in here sick and broken, there is healing. There is a God in heaven who has his eyes upon you, who will reach down from heaven, who will touch the pain of your life and guide you in a new direction. Guy heard that message and sold all that he had so that he could get it. Woman heard that message and cast off her past life and took that perfume, the tools of her trade, and began to pour it out on the feet of the Lord. Said, I don't need this stuff anymore. I'm not going back. Amen? Amen. See, all these guys sold everything they had. I don't need it anymore. I'm not going back. And if you're not going back, if you've got that direction in 2014, you don't got to worry what's behind you. Good or bad, leave it behind and find that new direction. He is talking to the very people. This is 50 days after the crucifixion of Christ. And many of those Jews who had traveled from Egypt and all over the place, it would take you a week to get from northern Israel down to Jerusalem. I mean, it wasn't like just driving up to Oceanside. And so they would say, hey, we're here for Passover. Let's just stick around with the family for Pentecost. So a lot of those same Jews who shouted, crucify him, crucify him, were hearing the message of Christ, of Peter. What shall we do? What can we do? And he says, repent. Do an about face in your life. God doesn't care so much where you've been. He has paid for where you've been. He cares for where you are headed. Amen? Now, when you do an about face, it is because your life, apart from Christ, is 180 degrees out of sync for whatever the Lord has going on. And so you have got to just be able to leave it behind and be happy about it. A lot of stuff's got to change. Stuff you're doing. Lying, stealing, drinking, drugging, sexual immorality, gambling, gluttony. All kinds of stuff has to fall off as you enter into the kingdom of God. You're thinking, I don't know how to get rid of that stuff. And I've been having this stuff all my life. I had it in 2013. I couldn't get rid of it. Well, God will help if you let him. That's what we're going to talk about right now. Dealing with the baggage. Didn't want to write crud up there. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Mike, I'm going to ask you to move back on that soundboard because we're going to do a little thing up here in a little bit. God would have you deal with all your baggage as you enter into the kingdom of God. There are things in our past that will mess up our todays. God doesn't care what you did in the past. He paid what you did in the past, but it'll still mess you up. Because we have spent so much time trying to cover all that crud. I mean, like what? Shame, you know, you're lying, stealing, drinking, drugging, using people, all this kind of stuff. And you start thinking about it and you start feeling a little guilty. A little shameful. And those are negative emotions that come up. And you say, man, I don't want to feel like this. I think I'll just have me a 40. Oh, there's a couple people that are honest. Maybe I'll just have a little toke. Maybe I'm going to go up to Verona's. Oh, yeah, man, I'm going to go to Verona's and just get away. Hey, maybe I'll just go shopping. Oh, yeah. Watch ice cream? Oh, yeah, gluttony. Put a little ice cream on that brownie. Oh, yeah, some ice cream and some nuts. And then what happens? Guess what? In 30 minutes, you're guilty again. Maybe like me, you know, you're passed out. And then the next morning, you're guilty again, plus more. The Lord says, man, you ain't going to make it to the kingdom with all this crud, with all this baggage hanging behind you. And he says, I'm going to show you how you can deal with this stuff. Confess it. Confession means, repentance is doing an about face, turning around from stuff. Confession is agreeing with God against you. You're right, God, what I am doing is sin. Because if it's not sin, it ain't forgiven. God doesn't forgive mistakes. God, really, I didn't mean to do that. It was just a mistake. He says, okay, that's on you. You want it to be on him, it's got to be sin. God, I really messed up, man. I sinned. Oh, let's get in the forgiveness line. Because my son hung on the cross for sin. He did not hang on the cross for mistakes. Mistakes are on you. Sins are on him. I'm thinking, if you are going to make an error in judgment, let's make an error on the sin side, amen? If we're going to call something mistake or sin, I'm leaning towards sin. Why? Because if you confess your sin, Lord, I don't know what happened. It was bad. I didn't mean it. I didn't want it to happen. I don't want it to happen again. It was sin. Please forgive me. And he says in his Bible that he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And what happens is that baggage full of crud, you start getting lighter and lighter. And a lighter. And the lighter it gets, you don't need a 40 no more. 12-ouncer will do. And it gets lighter. And lighter. And pretty soon you can get by with iced tea. You know, maybe you just take a little, one of them little mints, you know, with the chocolate on it. What do you call them things? Them little, you know, this little thing, little candy thing. You don't got to eat a whole tub of Tom and Jerry's. See, all those mechanisms that were to cover our guilt and shame and self-loathing and all that kind of stuff are no longer necessary. Why? Because they are gone. You surrender them up to the Lord, and he takes them away. And that is what celebrate. Hey, you know what? Can we have quiet over here? This is the important part here. Thank you. Where's Mike? Be able to stab somebody or something. Where is Mike? We need. All right. Yeah, stabbing, that's sin. All right. Everybody take out this paper. Kingdom focus. Mike, you can be a little of that music, okay? We are going to spend 2 minutes. It might seem like an hour to some of you. 2 minutes. You all have pens. If you don't have pens, think hard. And when the person next to you is done, you can borrow their pen. I want to know what is between you and the Lord. What guilt are you harboring? What shame is in your life? Because he says, confess your sins to me. Now, writing them down, you don't have to stop at one. Today, you could unload a whole suitcase. But we're going to listen to these music, and I just want you to begin to think, okay, Lord, help me. What issues are in my life? What unconfessed sin am I carrying around? Am I trying to hide from you? Because today, I want to take a step closer to the center of the kingdom. Today, I want to draw closer to you. Today, I want to learn how to meet the challenges of the kingdom. Find that reward. 2 minutes. Turn it up just a touch more, Mike. Checking my watch. Love to have everybody writing something. And we're going to do something at the end.